When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back into Letter Monroe, and welcome to an NFL draft preview presented by Byers Auto. That's the 40-year vet, Tim May, on your screen. That's Andy Backstrom. Fellas, a lot to get to as we're just one day away from the NFL draft. CJ Stroud, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, Paris Johnson should all hear their name called one day from now. Beyond that, we'll see where these other guys go, but it's not going to be a record-setting first round for Ohio State, but it's going to be a very impressive first round for the Ohio State offense. I'm sure a lot of Ohio State fans would love to for it to be an impressive first round for the defense at some point in the next few years, considering we haven't had one of those in a while now. But nonetheless, Ohio State will be able to sell a lot of recruits on what happens Thursday night in Kansas City, Tim. I think it's going to be a really good day for the program with those three presumably being selected. What say you?
Yeah, I mean, bottom line is, as I've told players ad infinitum at Ohio State, you know, when it comes to the draft and all the speculation beforehand, this isn't 32 teams all picking the same guy. You only need one team to step up and pick you and make you that first-round draft pick. And I think all three of those guys are poised, and maybe DeJuan Jones steps in there. Who knows, you know, late in this round. I mean, Kansas City revamping its offense, et cetera. He seems like a perfect fit for them, for example. But the bottom line is, I see it as we're going to get into this, I'm sure. But the disinformation campaign that started about a couple of weeks ago about C.J. Stroud is just numbing, because we've all seen this before. Seen it a couple times, actually, before. And then, of course, Jaxon Smith-Njigba is sort of the enigma of this first round, because, you know, some people seem to be shying away a little bit now, you know, at least in their talk. Now, we're getting this third hand from sources among teams, et cetera. So we'll see how it goes. Paris Johnson Jr. at one time seemed to be a lock for the Chicago Bears, maybe, and he seemed to be a lock for the Tennessee Titans. We'll see if that holds up, you know, where he ends up going. But I think all three of those guys will go in the first half of the first round.
Andy?
The draft discourse is always interesting, because they find one thing and they cling to it for months and months, or even in this case, weeks for C.J. Stroud. But even with Jaxon, before this all went down, of course, before he got back to the field, it was, is he going to be healthy? What's that hamstring like? Can he actually perform based off of 1 year of real production? But it seems like he hurdled all of that. So it's really when this comes at the right time or the wrong time. For Jaxon, it was almost like the right time, because he was able to get back, do his combine, do his pro day. Now no one's really talking about it as much, whereas CJ, it kind of comes at the wrong time. And I think he'll still go top five. Like, I still think he could be the second quarterback off the board. But it is unfortunate that this all comes about right now, just 2 weeks before the draft occurred, really. So it's just, it makes you angry when you know the guy and you've been in the building with him, and you also know what people say about him in the building. I mean, it just, none of it lines up with any of the rumors that are going on.
Just like with Justin Fields. You know, last man in, first man out. That was so BS. It was crazy. You know, it's a disinformation campaign. I didn't mean to interrupt, but that's what I do. You know that, Spence.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting that it's back-to-back Ohio State quarterbacks that this is happening to. Nobody's got any questions about Anthony Richardson, despite the fact that he couldn't throw the
ball. Yeah, isn't that nuts?
Nobody apparently has any questions about Will Levis, despite the fact that he can't throw the football and was terrible against good competition.
But he went to the Peyton camp. Go ahead now.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, if you kiss the toes of the Mannings, then I guess you're good to go for the NFL. I don't know, what would C.J. Stroud have learned at the Manning camp? Maybe how to be mobile, because the Mannings were known for that, I know. But like
Archie was,
what? Well, I don't think Archie can run anymore. Like they want.
No.
But it's just interesting to me that all of these things finally come out. And for Brady Quinn, of all people, who really does have a good rapport with Ohio State and the program, being on Fox and being with Urban Meyer, you know, for him to say something like that, and I will call him out, because, you know, he doesn't watch the show, first of all, and second of all, it was just stupid. And so, you know, it's pretty.
Yeah, but he went back and corrected. He went back and corrected that. And if you go back and, you know, really look at what he said, you know, he was basically parroting someone else. But then number two, It was a partial part of what he was talking about, taken out of context. I agree with him on that. That's the point, is you get these little nuggets and all of a sudden they become the gospel. You know what I mean? It's like the New Testament when it comes to football players. And it's kind of nuts the way it all filters out and becomes disinformation becomes information. And then you spend all this time refuting the disinformation. It's like being in a washing machine on spin cycle. I mean, bottom line is, I wrote this story, I recycled it during last week about the way C.J. Stroud dissected defenses. You know what I mean? And just how people were raving about him, especially after that Rose Bowl and stuff. And he only got better at that this past season, in my estimation. And so, all you know, the S2 test. Whoever even heard of the S2 test until this year, you know, and, you know, what it is exactly. But, I mean, this guy can play football. I mean, that's the bottom line, and can read defenses. And you saw where one guy said he didn't take coaching, and then you saw where another guy said he thought he was overcoached. Hey, settle on something, man, and stand there, you know, first base, second base, you know.
Yeah, I mean.
Get picked off.
The interesting thing about that S2 test, and I don't want to spend a lot of time on this because this isn't a C.J. Stroud defense show, because he doesn't need to be defended. He's really good. That's all we need to say.
Well, at one point we thought he was going to be the number one guy taken in the draft, so go ahead.
But, you know, the S2 founder came on the Pat McAfee show and said all of these scores are inaccurate. All of them. So whoever leaked those is maybe the biggest dunce of all of us for leaking wrong scores and, you know, just basically calling C.J. Stroud stupid. And oh, you know what? If he is stupid, he's really good at football. So
no, it doesn't mean he's stupid. It means he can't put A, B, and C together quickly as quote Bryce Young can. You know, when you come to the line, you know, these NFL teams have forever been looking for ways to figure out how quickly a quarterback can assimilate information, because that's the real cutting point between playing in the NFL and playing in college, is how quickly you understand what's going on in front of you and make the adjustment. And that's what all this S2 test is designed to do, is figure out how quickly you can do that. And just turn on the video of the Ohio State Georgia game and make your own assessment.
You know what I do, Tim, to figure out if CJ Stroud can make decisions quickly? Andy, I'm sure you do the same thing. I turn on the tape and I watch him scan defense. I mean, it's pretty dumb, Andy. The whole, again, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but it has driven me nuts.
Yeah, I mean, as Tim said, the Georgia game is a great example. That was probably the best, at least interior pass rush he faced all season, maybe all of his career, and he handled that extremely well. And also just making not only the first read, the second read, but the third read, and be able to go out of the pocket, make off-platform throws, everything that people said he wasn't doing, he did in that game. So I feel like that's evidence enough, especially when everyone talks about Jalen Carter, how he might be the best defensive player in the draft. There's even plays where he just one-on-one with Jalen Carter, evades him, makes a throw downfield. And so I think that game alone for a while was standing up as it should, just to show how good C.J. Stroud is. But it seems like in the last week or two, people have kind of forgotten about that a little bit.
So yeah, well, we're going to go one by one. Each of us are going to pick one guy who we just think is going to be just a home run in this NFL draft. Somebody's going to get just an absolute stud. I'm going
to
go for.
What if you get to me and all that's left is the guy hits doubles? What happens then?
Well, figure it out, Tim. You've been doing this for 40 years. You'll be all right. I'm going to go first because I'm just going to end the C.J. Stroud discussion of this show, and I'm going to say C.J. Stroud. And here's why. It's not because I think he's just immaculate at football. I think that Houston's going to make a huge mistake and pass on him. I think Arizona. I don't think Arizona needs a quarterback, considering it just paid little Kyler Murray way too much money. Sorry, Andy. And so I think C.J. Stroud's going to end up in Indianapolis, and I think it's going to be the absolute perfect scenario for him. You've got Michael Pittman, you've got Alec Pierce, you've got Jonathan Taylor, you've got an offensive line that they know how to build. They just built one a few years ago that was really good. You've got a defense that's got some really good players on it. If C.J. Stroud ends up number four to Indianapolis, I think it's the best possible position for him to be in, and I think it'll be a massive blessing for him not to go to the dumpster fire that is the Texans organization. And I think he's going to do really well there. And so if he goes four to Indianapolis or five to Seattle or seven to Las Vegas, I still think he's in a much better position than if he goes two to Houston. So I'm going to take CJ as this guy is going to be the home run of this. He might be the best Ohio State quarterback in the NFL, better than Justin Fields maybe here in the next couple of years. Tim, go ahead. Your guy who just is going to be a home run here in the NFL draft.
I don't know if he actually. I don't know if he's going to be a home run hitter on a repeated basis, but he's going to hit doubles and triples. Is Jaxon Smith-Njigba, and I hope Andy isn't crestfallen that I picked him. But bottom line is this idea of him slipping in the draft. Well, if you slip for like you said, Spence, you said it best. If you slip from like fifth to like 15th, who cares? You're still in the first round, and the farther you slip, usually. Or the deeper you slip, the better off you are from the standpoint of playing with a better team right off the bat. And this guy epitomizes this. I talked with Albert Breer about this on the Tim May show this week, is that he eviscerates the underneath coverage of teams. And that's not going to change, I don't think, in the National Football League. They're going to figure out ways, to get guys on him one way or the other. But he played against some good coverages for Ohio State, and that underneath slot guy is the guy that does most of the heavy work, the heavy lifting, hits the doubles and triples, and occasionally hits home runs because he gets favorable coverage a lot. And as Ryan Day said it best, he hasn't seen him get covered yet. This guy could get open, and as the old proverbial saying goes, there used to be these things called phone booths. Now everybody has a cell phone, but he could get open in a phone booth. And Jaxon Smith-Njigba appears to be back physically, and I think he will hit home runs in the way of doubles and triples on a continual basis for many years to come.
Andy?
Well, I'll go with the third first-round pick, and that's Paris Johnson Jr. And, anytime you're drawing comparisons to Orlando Pace, just because, Paris Johnson was the first offensive tackle at Ohio State to be a first-team consensus All-American since Pace, that's a good thing. That's good company to have, and I think – when you're Paris Johnson, it's positional flexibility too. Not only did he start a full season at left tackle with those great honors, but he also had a full season at right guard as well. And he's someone that even, you can put him anywhere across the line besides center probably. He's 6'6", 310 pounds. He's got great footwork. I mean, if you look at all the drills that he did, both the NFL Combine and a Pro Day, he's just extremely quick. At times, he doesn't even look like an offensive lineman. He's almost got this like slimmer build, but he's still a big body. And, just the stats back it up, everything he's done, he didn't allow a sack through the first 11 games this past year. And I think, he's just got all the tools to succeed. Maybe he'll have a little bit of a transition to the NFL if he does start at left tackle, just because he only had one season at Ohio State there. But it won't be long before he's on his way to a long NFL career in my eyes.
Okay, fellas, it's time to get a little deeper into the draft now. We've talked the first round. We've been over all of that. Tim, I'm going to put you on the spot first. The Ohio State player who's maybe a sleeper in this draft, not as many people were talking about, maybe third to seventh round pick, maybe even a second round pick, who you just think is going to be one of those guys who you look up in 8-9 years and he's had a really healthy career, maybe a couple, Pro Bowl appearances, and you say, wow, that guy probably should have been a first round pick.
Well, I could name three different guys, but the guy who I've been apologized. I even apologized on my show this week. The guy whose name continually falls through the cracks with me, and maybe it's because he had that kind of like college career, but has such an upside, is Zach Harrison. I mean, this guy is a freak when it comes athletically, the size he is, how fast he can run. His standing long jump was what, 10 feet, 1 inches or whatever it was we got to watch there. I was stunned when I saw that live at Ohio State's Pro Day. And so I'm going to say Zach Harrison because his upside, if he ever grows totally into his body, I think he's going to be quite a force to deal with, whether it's on the edge or whatever a pro team ends up doing with him. He kind of reminds me of Mike Vrabel, who came out. Mike Vrabel, the Pittsburgh Steelers took him. They didn't know what to do with him. The New England Patriots grabbed him in a trade or whatever. They knew what to do with him, and suddenly everybody was looking for the next Mike Vrabel. That's the way the draft goes. And Zach Harrison is my guy in that regard.
Andy?
I'm going to Luke Whippler. I feel like a lot of people were surprised when he declared for the NFL draft. People said, well, if he came back for another year, he could have been a top center. I think that the number three center off the board, if that's where he goes, is still something to be proud of. And I don't know, honestly, if he could have improved from that. You never know with injuries. You never know what the draft board's going to look like next year. I think that's where he lands. That's a good spot. That could be probably around third, maybe fourth round for him. And either way, I think that's an accomplishment for a guy that came in. He wasn't as highly touted as some of the other offensive linemen at Ohio State. He's a 2-year starter, 26 starts underneath his belt, and really was able to command the offensive line, making calls up front, alerts, and everything that you would like to see from a center. And I just think that when you look at guys, sometimes offensive linemen that don't go in the first round get a little bit overlooked. But often those are the guys that have careers that go 10, 11, 12 years in the NFL. Maybe it's not with all in one team, but they survive a pretty lengthy NFL career. And I think Luke Whipler is one of those guys you're going to look up in a decade, and he's still going to be playing football in the NFL.
Maybe I overqualified my own question, because obviously I said this was going to be something where you look up and this guy's got a couple Pro Bowls, and it's like, why wasn't he a first-round pick? I don't think that this is the case with the player I'm about to pick, but I do think that it was a travesty that he wasn't invited to the combine. I think it was wrong for the NFL to do that. He was better than quite a few players there. He would have actually worked out at the combine. There were some guys who just chose not to work out at the combine. Tanner McAllister had an incredible pro day, was the best athlete at pro day, ran a good time, talked to people at the, I think it was at the Senior Bowl or the Hula Bowl, I can't remember. And a lot of scouts were like, I'll see you at the combine. And he told me that he had to look at him in the face and say, no, you won't. I won't be at the combine. I didn't get the invite. And scouts were stunned that he wasn't there. It's a guy who played 4 years at Oklahoma State. He played 1 year at Ohio State, had an impact on both the best defense in the Big 12 and then one of the best defenses this past year in the Big 10, has played really high-level football against really high-level competition his entire college football career, knows what it's like to compete against the best, was really impressive, I thought, for Ohio State at times last year, got his hands on a few footballs, was good in pass coverage when he needed to be, especially in that Wisconsin game where he had the pass breakup. I think he's the one who had the interception. Like, it's a guy who just has a nose for the football. He knows what he's doing in the back end. And if nothing else, I think Tanner McAllister, you'll look up in 6 or 7 years, and he'll still be in the league as a special teams guy who can play safety if you need him to, maybe even add some weight and play almost like a hybrid role, a rover role in one of these NFL wacky defenses. So I just think that Tanner McAllister is being overlooked. I think he was overlooked by the combine inviter people. I don't know what they're called, but they definitely should have included him in the best 300 players in this draft. And I think he's going to prove that he is once he gets to the league, gets his chance to have a special teams role and make a roster. I don't see how Tanner McAllister doesn't do that based on the skills that he possesses.
Yeah. But I've read some evaluations, and I agree with one evaluation I read about both he and Ronnie Hickman, is that they're best when they're like back and the field is in front of them, meaning you're not turning and burning with somebody. I thought Tanner McAllister got kind of put in some tough positions this year in that slot, occasionally and things like that. It was like in the Georgia game where he was exposed to a certain extent. But I think a lot of people like him from his savvy standpoint. And if you can, he's one of those guys, if you can put him in the backside and let him have the field in his purview, in his vision, he could play maybe a long time. Same thing with Ronnie Hickman. But DeJuan Jones, definitely, I said him earlier and I'll say it again, he is built for the long haul, especially with a lot of these teams going more to a power approach up front, he's built for the long haul. DeJuan Jones is definitely somebody to keep an eye on for sure.
You have a second one, Andy?
I was just going to add to the secondary talk with Tanner. I think, it's interesting to me that it wasn't so long ago that Ohio State had a couple corners going off the board in the first round, and now you got most of these guys later rounds, day three potential picks with Ronnie Hickman, Tanner McAllister, and then even Cameron Brown, who either is going to be an undrafted free agent for someone, or he could be, a late round flyer. And I think, kind of speaks to what we've been dealing with this secondary at Ohio State. I think everyone in the program would like to see those guys further up, but it's a chance for these guys to have a prove it opportunity with whatever team they get a chance with. And whether it's a rookie minicamp invite, whether it's a late round pick, they will have an opportunity to prove it and show that, it's not just the Ohio State brand of why they got picked. It's because they have talent, and I think they all have that opportunity. I guess another guy to mention that probably won't get drafted, but I'm interested to see if he can land somewhere, would be like a Mitch Rossi. Can he find a role? Fullbacks really aren't that prevalent in the NFL now, but Tennessee Titans are a team that, have used a fullback recently. Mike Vrabel's the head coach, has that kind of bravado to him. And, maybe if they trade up and get CJ, they're seeing Mitch Rossi on tape. I don't know. It's another guy. And then also the defensive tackles we need to mention too, Teron Vincent and Jerron Cage. other guys that could end up getting somewhere, maybe not drafted, but picked up as undrafted free agents that, you know, they had times where they flashed at Ohio State, and you never know. Sometimes it just takes guys a little bit longer to kick in.
Plus teams, NFL teams need those kind of guys, especially in camp, man, or in the OTAs, but especially in camp, to kind of fill out, you know, flesh it out, so to speak. And if they can, like, spark when they get that shot, yeah, I agree with Andy. Both those guys could maybe stick.
It was just inconsistency for Tron Vincent. He'd go out and have one of the best games of his career, and then all of a sudden he disappears for three games. But, you know, he reminds me kind of a guy like Benjamin Victor, who didn't get drafted, gets picked up by the Giants, then goes here, then goes here, then goes here. And then you look up this past year in 2022, and he's starting for the Ravens because they're thin at wide receiver. And you thought, well, I didn't know he was with the Ravens. And so, you know, maybe you got a guy, Tron Vincent fits that mold. The guy that I'm going to go with, I can't believe you left him for me, Andy. Bradley Robinson.
Yeah.
Well, these Ohio State long snappers. They've always got, you know, Liam McCullough now with the Atlanta Falcons. He's the long snapper in Atlanta now. You've got, you know, a couple other guys around the league. Jake McQuaid had a great NFL career. I'm not sure if he's still there. Maybe he is. But, you know, the next in line is Bradley Robinson, older guy, just coming off that ACL injury, looked good at pro day, back on the field working hard. He's a guy who, you look up in 8 or 9 years and you think, oh, yeah, Bradley Robinson played at Ohio State, and now he's the starting long snapper for, you know, I don't know, the Seahawks. How crazy is that? So, just, you know, you just keep your eye on those kind of guys, because he's definitely not going to get drafted, but it's interesting to track where he lands, because Ohio State long snappers, they've got the history.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and there's a lot of them out there, you know, and they go through them a lot, you know, kind of like kickers to a certain extent. And it's funny how Xavier Johnson, wide receiver, do everything running back for Ohio State, is now the spokesman for the Kubota dealership. He has succeeded Bradley Robinson, a tradition like no other.
Well, Bradley Robinson, going to land somewhere. I would be willing to assume that. I would be willing to project him to be in the NFL at this time next year. But we will see where all of these guys land. Ohio State should have, I think we'll have three guys selected in the first round Thursday. It is just Wednesday, though. This was a full NFL draft preview presented by Byers Auto. For the 40-year vet, Tim May, for Andy Backstrom, I am Spencer Holbrook. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening to this NFL draft preview. We'll be talking about it at the Letterman Lounge message board all night Thursday as we recap what's going on in the NFL draft. Maybe we'll just have a draft thread to talk about the non-Buckeyes. That should be fun, Andy. Tim will have coverage as the Buckeyes continue through the offseason. It's almost summer. It's almost summer workouts. A lot to come at lettermanrow.com. Come join us for $30 through September. We will talk to you soon, and we will see you next time on the next video presented by Byers Auto.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.